Hello and welcome to the Business Brain Podcast.
Brought to you by the Business Brain Program. We're the only podcast in the world to give you genuine business superpowers. We're your hosts. I'm Ollie Thompson.
I'm Honor Ibrahim. Enjoy the show.
Good morning.
Here we go again.
Here we go again. Back around the merry-go-round.
Yeah.
Remember that song, The Merry-Go-Round of Love?
No.
Oh, that's a great tune. It's a really good 80s like soul song. It's great.
Don't start singing on this podcast. That's all we need.
Mate, we'll get a copyright violation because my voice is so good.
Yeah, right.
Original.
Yeah.
Resilience and happiness. Happiness is a running theme for us, as is resilience. And I think our listeners would really enjoy learning about the connection between being resilient and being happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you reckon?
It is. Resilience has a very interesting connotation to it, doesn't it?
Mm.
Because in your head, you sort of pick images of what resilience looks like, and resilience is kind of pushing back an unstoppable force that's kind of unpleasant, almost, isn't it? Something you don't want. You've got to be strong in the face of adversity, almost. And so, how does that relate to happiness? That's the question.
Well, the only two words I would change is unstoppable force.
Mm.
I'd probably change unstoppable to uncomfortable.
Mm. Yeah.
Because if something's unstoppable, most people will just give up.
Yeah.
But if it's uncomfortable, that's where I think resilience comes in.
Yeah.
Pushing back against an uncomfortable force doesn't sound as sexy, but it's, I think it's a bit more relevant, you know?
Yeah, I think that the challenge for most people is society's infrastructure that creates weakness. And that's quite a big statement. But most people, if you are truly, truly honest with ourselves and with themselves, would say that there are quite high levels of weakness in various areas of their lives that they are unwilling to challenge themselves on, even though they know that if they improved on those areas and built the bricks for that wall of strength, they would be better off. They tend to avoid it, which means a lack of resilience. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm just processing it. I mean, that was pretty pointed. I mean, can I put your name underneath that, Oliver Thompson?
Yeah. Well, it is. It's like, look, you know, it's... People want loads of money, don't they? They want to be millionaires. They want to have financial freedom. A lot of people will say that. They do. The classic, you know, what would you do if you won the lottery? Well, the first step to winning the lottery is buying a ticket.
I'll take a day off.
Yeah.
You're right. We're being flippant now a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah, but even that, some people would make excuses for.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't want to play the lottery because I don't want to spend £2 on a ticket. Whatever. Is it £2 now or a pound or whatever?
I don't know. I don't play, but I think it's £2. Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever it is. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. It's like funny excuses to walk to the. I think I can't bother to walk to the shop, and I don't want to install the app. But if I win the lottery.
Yeah.
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 So I think actually the point here is that people try to have a positive outlook.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anyone that deliberately has a negative outlook on life. I think everyone tries to keep a positive outlook.
Yeah.
But the struggle is that most people can't cope with adversity.
That's right.
And that's what's holding them back from being happy.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, that's the main crux.
It is not complex. It is very simple, right? Happiness is not a complex thing. You have to just break down what would make you happy in your life. And generally speaking, there are categories, aren't there? Like health, relationships, finances, right? Generally speaking. And then you go into a deep dive and explore those areas. And the question you've got to ask yourself is, financially, what would make me happy? Relationship-wise, what would make me happy? Not who, what would make me happy? And then you have to align yourself to those things. But people mistake, I think people risk, it's the thing like risk. Right, people want to be happy, but they always say, "Yeah, but I don't like risk." And then what they do is everything that goes against comfort is called a risk. I have these conversations all the time. It's incredible. right?
So what they think that doing something different is risky. And they think that it might fail. And because it might fail, they don't do it at all. So they don't any that they're not happy to take any level of any measure of risk. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. And they call it a risk. It's not. It's just actually just creating a plan around what you want to achieve and mitigating any risk to its to the point where you are going to take action. But you can't remove every possibility. Their worst case scenario mindset means that, you know, they won't even go and do the thing they want to do, because if one thing's missing, right, it's catastrophic. That's the risk. I can't take that risk. You can. And with finances, for example, you know, people are just living in a world of debt because they can't meet the bills, because the world's obviously a mess with the hierarchies of power. So people are in debt all the time. They're living on the threshold. But in order to be wealthy, the first step you've got to do is chip away at the debt and remove it to zero. And then you build from there. But they can't do without certain things, you know. But if you said to yourself, right,
I don't have my shower in Bollinger Champagne every morning.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I can't wake up.
Yeah, yeah. But isn't it funny how, you know, people haven't got money, but they can still go to the pub and get drunk, right? Or you can still have that takeaway on a Friday night. But if you learn to actually just cook, you might save yourself 75% of the bill. And I know it's not comfortable. I know you want to treat yourself because you've had a difficult week. I get all of that, but it's this ability to be resilient under pressure and make the right choices so that you can work towards the eventual outcome you're trying to create.
Do you know the difference between debt-free to most people in the UK is £1,000 extra a month?
Yeah.
And actually, you know how we teach people to keep time diaries?
Yeah.
So we say, like, for a week, keep a spreadsheet and just block out 10 to 11, 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 11 to 12. And for every hour, just jot in one note every hour, what you did in that hour. And then look back at it at the end of the week and see where you spent your time as a way of overcoming procrastination. Now, if people did the same with their personal budgeting, £1,000 a month is achievable to the majority of people that need it.
Yeah.
And if they are able to find an extra £1,000 a month, with the average credit card debt being £3,500, £4,000, most people will be able to clear that debt within a few months.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just about discipline.
Yeah.
And looking back at what am I doing and where am I spending my time? Where am I spending my money? And what am I happy to do instead of?
Yeah. And I think, right, if people were really, people aren't honest with themselves, they're just not. They like to deceive themselves because of the emotions that, you know, deception creates. We want to be happy and healthy and all that sort of stuff. And so we do lie to ourselves when catastrophic things don't occur. And if we were honest and said, if I were to take away those 3 hours that I spend on Instagram and Facebook every day, put it into a bucket each month and look at the time spent, where would I put that time so I can go and achieve X, Y, and Z? You'd be much better off for it.
Yeah. Well, look, life is dynamic, right? You don't know what's going to happen today or tomorrow.
Yeah.
But the happiest people are the ones that embrace change.
Yeah.
They're happy that something's going to happen, a challenge is going to come up, I'm going to get to solve that thing. I'm going to feel, and they feel satisfaction.
Yeah.
And satisfaction, you know, in our wheel of emotions, satisfaction is one of the elements of happiness.
Yeah.
So being able to embrace change, navigate change, and come up with something different makes people happier. So same token. I'm going to sit and watch Netflix for 3 hours, but I've got a gym membership. I'm paying 100 quid for the gym, right?
Yeah.
But instead of going to the gym, I'm sitting down for 3 hours watching Netflix and then getting up at the end of it feeling uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I could have spent the same time going to the gym for an hour.
Absolutely right.
Or going for a walk, which costs nothing.
Yeah.
Got put my favorite podcast, the Business Brain podcast, in my earbuds.
Yeah.
Went for a walk for 20 minutes. come back, it's cost me nothing.
Yep.
Right. And I've spent my evening in a different way. And it's these micro choices that people are not making.
That's right.
And I think that is the difference between a resilient person and a non-resilient person.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned the word discipline. You've got to turn off your emotions when you have got discipline, because discipline is the ability to manage the emotion of not wanting to do something and doing it anyway.
Yeah. But also, I think discipline, you need a support system to be disciplined. You need to find your own support system. You know, you and I are quite good at keeping each other on track with certain things that we do. So we've got a support system between us for the tasks that we're working on.
Yeah.
And I think resilience comes from, firstly, you've got to have discipline, but you've got to have a support system to help you stay disciplined. Because the minute you start straying off that path, it's very difficult to get back on it.
Right. Yeah. I think I am. I'm just going to talk about myself for a second. I do think I am self-disciplined.
You are a unique entity, my friend.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I just...
A lot of people need an accountability partner or an app or a goal-setting sheet or something that they can just look back to when they're feeling that. I get it. For me, I feel it in my stomach. And when I know that I'm off track, I get this anxiety in my stomach and I know something is wrong. So I pull myself back and I look at tools like Trello.
Yeah.
Or the Business Brain app.
Yeah.
The goal setting section, you know. And what am I supposed to be doing? What am I trying to achieve? And where am I with this? And that's how I keep myself disciplined.
Yeah.
You're very different. How do you do it?
Well, very simply, that's the first thing. Honestly, I just don't get attached to things. I have a non-attachment mentality, right? I can't control the things I can't control. And because of the job that I do and the research I've invested in over years and years and years of doing this, I'm in a good position because I practice what I preach. And I think attachment to things is one of the most destructive elements mentally that we can have as human beings, right? I think there's a book by, I think it's Arthur Brooks, which is From Strength to Strength, which talks about happiness. And he talks about attachment.
Okay.
Right. And again, it's we attach ourselves to things and add meaning to those things. Well, they don't have meaning, things, do they? Like that chair, right? I haven't got an attachment to the furniture in my house. I just haven't. Right. It serves a purpose. I really like it. I picked it because I think it looks nice and it's comfortable and all that sort of stuff. But if I have to do something else, which means that furniture is no longer relevant, then that's not relevant. I'm not getting attached to it. And people attach things to people, emotions, situations. You can't attach yourself to situations. What I tend to do is I attach myself to my own personal objectives of what I want to achieve. And I do whatever it takes to get there. And sometimes it won't work out the way I'd hoped, but I'll tell you what, I'm a lot closer to it. Even if I haven't achieved it, I'm a lot closer to it because of that lack of attachment. I can drop things and go, it doesn't matter. That's fine. It's not a consideration anymore. It's okay. But what can I do and what do I need to do and who am I becoming because of it? Right.
Yeah. So you've got, you know, we talk about backlog.
Yeah.
Communication. I think you're touching on something here that is pretty recent research. And you talk about sense of attachment, disattachment to things and attachment to outcomes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people carry baggage.
They do.
You know, and we today we're calling most of these people hoarders, but in some way, a lot of people are mental hoarders. They're holding on to experiences.
Yeah, that's right.
Which are holding them back.
Correct.
Other people are physical hoarders. They're holding on to stuff that's holding them back.
Yeah.
Other people are kind of education hoarders. They're saying, well, I've got this education. I can only be
here. Oh, yeah.
And I think the same way backlog can connect people together in communications, I think there's another strain of research for helping to connect people with attachment. Because this idea of attachment and disattachment is not the right word, is it? It's disentanglement.
Yes,
that's would be a right. better word, right?
Yeah.
So the idea of disentanglement is a release.
It is.
Buddhist teachings say talk about going back to a childlike state.
Yeah.
Because they talk about babies and children being the closest to enlightenment. Mm. They have no attachment.
No, that's right.
Understanding, right? They're born. No. The Taoists say one with the Tao. A baby is born as one with the Tao. This idea that you pick things up along the way, which take you further and further away from the idea of enlightenment, let's say. Let's just assume enlightenment is happiness in this case. The more stuff you attach yourself to, the more difficult it is to find your way back to what makes you happy.
Because that's right.
You think these things that you're attached to have value.
Yeah.
Actually, they probably don't have a value.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting that it's the classic sort of if you're depressed, you attach yourself to an event in the past that keeps looping itself, right? I shoulda, woulda, coulda. That's depression, right? Anxiety is anticipating the future and maybe not being good enough or worrying about it too much. The only thing that you can effectively manage is what you're doing today, now, right? And I just think you've got to do it well. And one of the things that I think is fascinating is attachment to goals, right? Because some people get so anxious about not being good enough towards their goals that they give up and then feel worse.
Well, we spoke about it last week. Yeah. The wrong goals.
Yeah.
Attaching yourself to a silo, attaching yourself to the wrong goals, trying to ascend the wrong chimney.
Yeah.
And actually getting out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Seeing that something else is going to give you more purpose and make you happier.
But the point of goals for me is outcomes, turning them into outcomes, which is I enjoy the process rather than the actual achievement itself. I learn so much from doing the things to get there, or at least trying to get there, right? So sometimes, you know, it's good to do the disattachments, to do, you know, people do bucket lists of what they want to achieve.
Yeah.
And most people will say they won't achieve most of those things. So they get worried about it and they won't bother following up. Well, do a bucket list that's the opposite of disattachment, things you want to avoid. Yeah. Do a bucket list of that and start from there. What are the things I shouldn't be doing? What are the things I want to avoid doing? What are the things that wouldn't make me happy? Make a list of those things, right? Clear all that out and then just put down three things that are now you're going to work towards. And you'll be much happier because of it. But we're so attached to things. You know, I need the new dress, the new jacket, new pair of shoes, the new car. We all know this. We get the new car and we're excited for a week. It smells lovely and people are commenting. Then a month down the line, it's like, oh my God, this is costing me a lot of money and fuel's gone up. And then, you know, and it's like, blimey.
It's just another car, isn't it?
It's just another car, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I've kind of, well, you and I, we're both car guys, right? And we've both been down that road. You know, you've had the Porsches and and I've had BMWs and other German cars that I really like, but then actually you look back and you think, oh, that was fun. I remember those times.
Yeah.
I don't care about the vehicle. I remember the memories that it gave me, you know, are more important. And actually I probably could have the same memories because it's the people and the environment that gave me the memory, not the
vehicle. That's right. Yeah, totally correct. Every positive, helpful, interesting, humorous memory you have in your head has to involve where you were and who you were with.
Yeah.
Has to, right? It wasn't about what I was wearing. It's not. My favorite memories aren't about the shoes I was wearing. It was about the conversations I was having or what I was doing.
Well, most of my favorite memories, I'm wearing jeans and a t-shirt. I mean,
But I mean, it's like most people go, well, my favorite memory is being on holiday, right? Yeah. So it's the holiday. What were you wearing? I can't remember. I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt and flip-flops. Okay, what was the brand of flip-flop? Oh, it was probably Prada. Did that make a difference if it was Prada or Primark? Did it make a huge difference? Well, not really, no. Well, why are you obsessing over whether or not that's important? Because it just isn't. It's nice if you have a lifestyle that allows that space for you to have the Prada flip-flops. then that's good. But if you're putting yourself under pressure because everyone else is expecting that of you because of what you've built up with the ego, then you need to drop that big time because it's not as relevant as you think it is.
Totally agree. So three things to leave people with at the end of this podcast.
Yeah.
Detachment. Drop something every week.
Yeah. Make a bucket list of detachment, things that you don't want in your life. Health, happiness, relationships, money, all that sort of stuff. And then the second part, which I would then fill the space when you've got nothing, which is good. Nothing is not bad. It's good. Because then the only way you can go is towards something. So then write down just three things this week that you want to work towards in terms of outcomes. And then what are the three actions you're going to take on each? Do that.
So three things we want to work towards. Mm-hmm. Three things we're going to do for each of those. So we're going to have a list of three headings with three things I'm going to do to reach each one. Nine bullet points.
Yeah.
And then what we're also going to do is say, what can I take away that's not helping me achieve one of those three things?
Totally.
I think that's a good one.
Brilliant. Cheers, my friend.
Nice one. Thank you.
Yeah. Speak to you soon.